Romans chapter 4, it's just a great chapter. I mean, the book of Romans is great, but as we're looking here in chapter 4, the Apostle Paul's encouraging us about believing and having faith in God. He's using the example of Abraham, and even he used a little bit of David last week, and just Abraham's belief in God and how God accounted that to Abraham's account as righteousness. And it's the same for us today. If we believe in God, if we put our trust in God, that he will account us righteous. And it's the righteousness of Christ that we wear in Christ. And there's a story I want us to start with this morning that's told of a city that was being bombed during wartime. And a father picked up his son and ran for shelter. And on the way, the bombing intensified. The father wasn't sure that they would make it to the shelter. So seeing a deep hole, the father put his son down and jumped into the hole. And the father told his son that he would catch him if he would jump into his arms and jump into the hole. But the boy said, "But I can't see you, Dad." To which the father looked up and saw his son with bombing happening behind him and said, "You don't have to see me because I see you." And with that, the son jumped into the hole into his father's loving arms. And I wonder if sometimes in our lives, we don't see God at work. We don't see our heavenly father working behind the scenes on our behalf. And God says, "Jump and I will catch you." It is our belief that God is there. It is our belief that God is faithful to us, that when he tells us to do something, we can trust him in that. That's the promises that Abraham received. And we're going to look at that in more detail this morning, how Abraham didn't have a whole lot to go on as far as history with God. He was the first one to trust in the Lord by just hearing his voice. And how that should encourage us today who have seen so much and who have known so much and seen that Jesus has come and known that Jesus has died on a cross for our sins and seen story after story and miracle after miracle in the text of our Bibles to trust in God. And when we really look at our lives, has God ever let us down? No. Maybe stretched our faith more than we'd want, right? More sometimes just kind of letting things happen in our lives in such a way where we're like, "Lord, are you there? Lord, are you at, do you understand what's going on?" But he's always been faithful. I've experienced that in my life, and I'm sure you've experienced that in your life. Yes, there's those times where we scratch our heads and don't understand what God's doing and don't understand why God is delaying or whatever it may be. But we know he's there. And we know his ways are greater than our ways. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. True faith is the willingness and the ability to trust in God when you don't see him. Trusting in God when you don't see him, because that's exactly what Abraham had. In fact, the Bible says this, "For we walk by what? Faith, not by sight." We walk by faith, not by sight. When we can't see or when we can't sense God, that's when our faith must kick in and say, "God, I know you're there and I know you're in control." Walking by faith. That's what we do as believers. In troubled times, in difficult seasons of our lives, we have to walk by faith. It's easy to get to that place where we're going, "Lord, have you abandoned me? Lord, have you given up on me?" He never has. He never will. And so this morning I've entitled this message, "God Will Do What He Promised." God will do what he promised. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that God will do what he's promised? He did what he promised to Abraham, and he's going to do what he promised to us. He will come back for us. He will return for us. He will get us safely to heaven. Let's never forget that. Even in the big things, God is faithful to what he promises, and even in the small things. Look with me at verse 13 in Romans chapter 4. Paul, continuing his illustration of Abraham, he says, "For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. And if you look back in chapter 3, in verse 20, Paul said this, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." The law points us to the fact that we're sinners, that we're going to fall short of the righteous requirement of God. The law was not set so that somebody would accomplish it other than Jesus. He never set the law thinking that Abraham would meet it, or Moses would meet it, or Paul would meet it. It was there to say, I can't meet that mark. Just like the laws we have today. We have to follow and be obedient to those laws, or what? We get consequences. Paul, as he writes here in verses 13, 14, and 15, again, thinking about God will do what he promised. Number one, his promise is based on what? It's based on faith. It's based on faith. Again, Abraham had nothing to go by other than hearing God's voice. There was nobody that God had done it to him before. He had nothing to go by. He didn't have a book to read, which we have the entire Bible. What an encouragement. But there's three things here that Paul alludes to. He alludes to a land promise, a seed promise, and a blessing promise. Those three things is what God promised to Abraham, the father of a great nation, that he would give them a land and that he would be a blessing, and his descendants would be a blessing to what? To all nations. Guys, as believers, we partake in that same thing. We are to be a blessing to each other, and we're to be a blessing to others. That's what I love about Sunday morning, seeing people in the church. It's just a blessing to see your faces. It's just a blessing to be around you, to have relationship with you and be able to fellowship with you. That's the blessing that we are. We're to be a blessing. God gave Abraham this promise in Genesis chapter 12, 2,000 years before Jesus would come. The promise that his nation would be a blessing to all was actually a promise that he would send the Messiah to save us from our sins. Oh, the promise of salvation and the promise of Jesus is what we're all here for this morning. Knowing that it's because of what he's done that we stand right before God. I always have to remind myself, it's not the things I do. Have you ever been in a place in your life where something doesn't go your way, and immediately you start thinking, oh, I probably didn't pray enough, or I haven't been reading my Bible, or I haven't been nice to my spouse. On Valentine's Day, we have to talk about our spouses, right? Why is it the natural tendency of our flesh is to say, when things don't go our way, I must be doing something wrong? Anybody realize that sometimes things just go wrong in life? Even when you're faithful? Even when you're committed to Christ? How many people in my life, in my wife and I's life, have we seen people walk faithfully with God, serving the Lord, only to find out their children walk away from the Lord? That their children live lives that you're like, what? The choices that kids make, it's so important that we are praying for our children, that we're praying for this next generation. I was just having that conversation with a friend this week. We need to be praying for this next generation. It's so easy to look out and say, oh, the world that we live in. But our kids are going to grow up in this world. And we need to make sure that they're confident in Christ and that they're ready to serve the Lord. It's our faith that tells us that God will be fulfilling of his promise. Notice it says here in verse 14, "For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void." The first thing we see here, that it's not about law, it's about faith, is that the faith would be made void. That word void means useless, empty, of no value. It is either one way or the other. It's either by meeting the righteous requirements of the law, or it's by living by faith. And Paul says, if it's about the law, what's the point of faith? There's no point. There's no point in trusting in God if it's just meeting all these righteous requirements and living a certain way. See, these two are mutually exclusive. It's either one or the other. You can't have both. Second, it goes on and says, not only is faith made void and the promise made of no effect. What's the point of God giving the promise to Abraham if Abraham could have got righteous by doing works? He had to believe in God. He had to trust in God in all the many ways that he did. And then finally, our situation would be hopeless without faith, right? Because none of us can keep that righteous requirement. There's a lot of good people in this room, right? There's a lot of good people watching online, but none of us meet the righteous requirement of God. It is only by our faith in Jesus. And because of that faith in Jesus, we can rest, right? We should be at peace with God because it's Jesus that did all the work. Yes, we want to live lives that honor him, but it's because of what he's done. And James says this. He reminds us that if you break one law, you've broken them all. So even if we tried, even if we thought we could get 9 out of 10, that's pretty good odds, right? A 90% on a test in school, you pass, right? But not with God. I love this illustration. Someone said, you got to think of the law like a chain. When one link is broken, that chain is no longer useful. It can no longer accomplish its job. And that's just like that. When it comes to the law, we cannot meet that righteous requirement. What about in verse 15? What is Paul saying here as he says, because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there's no transgression. It's an interesting statement, isn't it? But man, when you think about it, it is so true. If there wasn't a law that said you can't go through a red light in an intersection, then when you went through a red light at an intersection, you wouldn't have to get a ticket. Or you wouldn't have to hear your wife say, why did you go through that red light? See, the law is set so that we would live up to that requirement, so that we would know that we made wrong. So it's all about faith. That's the first thing that Paul wants us to know. It's about engaging your faith. It's about exercising your faith. How is your faith this morning? The faith in God. Faith in his promises. It's all about having faith. And that's what Abraham had. Look with me at verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith, he says, that it might be accounted to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Paul, again, writing to the Romans, both Jewish and Gentile. He's writing to them, it's for everyone. The promises that God gave to Abraham are for all who believe. Right? Anybody here a Gentile? Probably all of us. We're all Gentiles. And because of that, the promises that God gave to Abraham, we embrace as well. Because it's for all people. The promise was made to all people. And I'm so thankful for that. As a Gentile, I'm thankful that God thought of me. And when you read the Old Testament, I was reading through Genesis this morning and being reminded of this promise that God gave to Abraham right in the beginning, that he would be a blessing to all nations. Right in the beginning, God said, I want all people, not just my people. I want all people to be saved. So right from the very beginning, God's heart was that all people would come to him. His chosen people were to be that example. That is transferred to us, hasn't it? The church. That we too would be an example of what it means to walk with God. You can be assured that your coworkers, your neighbors, and even strangers are watching your life if you claim to be a Christian. If you profess to be a believer in Christ, they're watching you. If there's anything that my prayer during our time of construction, I shared this thinking at our staff meeting or somewhere, is that we would be a witness to every subcontractor on this property. That they would know, because they know it's a church, so that they would know that we are trusting in God and putting our faith in Him. That our testimony would be that they would walk away and go, it was a pleasure working with them. Just like it's been a pleasure for us to work with them. And so as believers, we need to be examples in this world. To let, what's the Bible say? Let our light shine for Him. It's so important. And that's what God wants us to be. Salvation is by grace through faith. It is guaranteed to all of Abraham's descendants. So if you're here today and you believe in Jesus, you know you're saved. It's a guarantee. Not only the physical benefits of having a relationship with God, but the spiritual benefits as well. As Paul uses Abraham as an example, we can't lift Abraham up on a pedestal. Because Paul's point isn't Abraham. Paul's point is Abraham's faith in what? In God. So it's our trust in the Lord that really matters. Are you living your life for God and with God? Do other people know that? I can remember when I first got saved, I worked at an engineering company. And it was many years before anybody in my workplace knew that I was a believer. And when someone finally said to me, oh, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I was actually convicted. I'm like, you didn't know that? That means I wasn't living in such a way that they noticed that. And that, right from that moment, it's like, man, I want to make sure that I'm sharing my faith. I want to make sure that people know I'm trusting in God. They need to know that. They need to see that. So our faith isn't something that we should do in church or at home or hidden. It should be lived out loud. So others know we're trusting in God. And I think it's important for us as believers to let others know when we struggle, when we're going through difficult times, and let them know we're trusting in the Lord. Maybe this morning as you were driving on the roads, all icy, you were trusting in the Lord. There was probably a lot more prayer this morning on the way to church than others. Yes. Look at verse, did I read it? 16, where is it? Oh, I didn't. Did I not finish reading 17? I read 16. So 17 says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, again, including all people, in the presence of him whom he believed, God. Notice Paul says he showed his faith in whom he believed. That being God is who he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Don't you love that verse? We serve a God that calls things that don't exist as though they did. What's Paul alluding to there? Number one, he's talking to Abraham, who received the promise at age 75. A little old for having children, right? And Sarai, she was what? She was 65 at the time. From a human perspective, impossible, wouldn't you agree? So that's where faith has to kick in. And so Paul's saying, God who calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That's the God we serve. But not only that, it goes way back to creation. When God created the universe. When he called light into existence. Called those things that did not exist as though they did. God speaks it. Guys, this is a verse for us to all embrace. God, call those things in my life that don't exist as though they did, because I'm going to trust in you. Some of us have probably gotten promises from God and we're like, God, I don't know how you're going to do that. Do we not believe God, or do we believe God and watch how he does it? As I read my Bible, we've all seen God do some amazing things that we never thought, how would he do that? You know, even Israel becoming a nation. People before 1948 had no idea how God was going to bring his people back together. And God did it. He calls those things that don't exist as though they did. Man, I need to be encouraged in that. I need to believe that in my life. Maybe there's something in your life right now that doesn't exist and God's going, it's coming to you. That's when our faith has to trust. Maybe it is. Maybe this morning you need to write that down. Lord, you've given me this promise, but I don't know how you're going to fulfill it. But I believe you can. I believe you can. I mean, I just think of Abraham and Sarai at the time going, we're going to have kids? Are you kidding? But with God, what? All things are possible. God can do anything. Abraham believed in a miracle-working God. If God said it, God's going to make it happen. Do you believe in that same God this morning? Because he hasn't changed. He's the same as he was then. He can do a miracle in your life. And I think the enemy wants us to dwell on the negative and dwell on the fact that maybe we think God's abandoned us or he hasn't answered us in that way. But we need to believe that God is behind the scenes working. When I speak to people who are discouraged, I'm like, you don't know what God's doing behind the scenes, that you have no idea that he's moving things in place for you. Yes, sometimes it takes a long time. We're standing on a property that this church prayed 12 years for. And during those 12 years, let me tell you, we all scratched our heads. God, what are you doing? You know, I even had one brother come up to me and goes, are you sure God told you to do this? I'm like, at the time, we all prayed about it, and we believed God was doing it, and now we're standing in this place that we've been praying for so long. Maybe God's going to take a long time to answer your prayers, but he will answer them. The third thing, verse 18. He goes on, who contrary to hope, look at that, contrary to hope, which made no sense, right? How am I going to have a child at 75? In hope believed, he did believe, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he had strong faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being, here it is, fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. When God gives a promise, you got to believe that promise. As crazy it may sound. Now, you probably saw it here. The promise to Abraham came when he was 75 years old. How long did Abraham and Sarah have to wait for the promise? 25 years. You know, so whenever we think we have to wait a long time, we got to remember Abraham. I mean, you got to think after 24 years, Abraham's got to be going, this is not going to happen. I knew it, right? To rely on self-knowledge. See, we're too old. We can't have kids. But he didn't. He never wavered. And that's the point that Paul is trying to make, that we don't waver. He trusted. We must believe in the promises that God has given to us. No matter what's going on in this world, no matter what's happening in Washington, D.C., no matter what's happening with this pandemic, our allegiance is to God, right? He's the one that calls the shots for us. And we have to trust him and believe that he's going to get us safely home. Isn't it going to be great when we get to heaven? And just all of this is past. It's like, Lord, thank you for getting us to this place. Thank you for carrying us to the end. A pastor once said this about Abraham. He kept the faith even when the cards were stacked against him. Ever feel that way? Ever feel like everything's going wrong? Ever feel like things are just coming as and nothing is going right? I've had days like that. I've had weeks like that. Where it's like just nothing is going right. But that's when faith kicks in. That's when our hope in God and our trust to God to say, God, I'm going to give this over to you. And watch him, number one, give us peace. Right? What do we all want? We want to hear God say, I've got this. I've got this. I'm working. Just be patient. Just wait. That's all we want. It's like, Lord, just tell us. But no. sometimes things are stacked against us and we get discouraged. We can't. We must allow our faith to endure. You know, verse 21 to me is the strongest verse in this section, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. God is never going to tell you he's going to do something and you think he can't do it. You should never. God's never going to tell you he's going to do something if he's not going to do it. So it's holding on to those promises, holding on to the truth that God is with us. Another translation says this, that he was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. That word power is the same word he uses in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. It's that dunamis. It's that word we get the word dynamite. God has the power and the strength to do what he says. It's our job to just stay in the place that God has us until he fulfills his promise. And to really ask God to give us that encouragement. What kind of faith does God want you to have this week? What area of your life does he want you to say, put your trust in me in this? Is it finances? Is it relationship? Is it job? Is it just the world that we're living in? What is it that God wants you to just trust him in? Encourage us all to trust in God and to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us to enable us to be confident in him during those quiet times, during those still times when it doesn't seem like God is there. And then finally, to me, this wraps up the whole thing. In verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. The last thing that Paul wants us to know is that Abraham believed. Abraham had faith in God. Abraham never wavered. You know, we might look at Abraham's life and say, wait a minute, didn't Abraham laugh at God? Didn't Sarah go, yeah, I'm going to have a child? I look at that, and it encourages me that there's going to be times in our lives where we do find weakness, and God doesn't hold that against us. God understands our limited ability to fully understand what he's doing and to fully understand him doing the impossible. So sometimes we might laugh at God. Sometimes we might doubt God. But don't let that affect us. The last thing he wants us to realize is that God sent Jesus to die on the cross for us and that his resurrection is so important. And I love the fact that Paul ends this section with the resurrection of Christ, because it's because of his resurrection that we believe we too will be resurrected, right? Do you believe that? That even if we die, we're going to rise again. I mean, that's the hope that we have. That's the promise that God has given to us. So for us, that's the thing that we hold on. Jesus died, didn't stay dead. He rose again. And because of that, we too will rise. Let's live in the resurrection life today. Don't you agree? To live in that victory now. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged that God has a great future for us and a great hope for all of us. If you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7. I want you to read this. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 25, very familiar verse. But I want you to see this. Again, Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Actually, we'll go to verse 24. It says, but he, speaking of Jesus, because he continues forever. He's eternal, has an unchangeable priesthood. Okay? He's always in that position of authority. But verse 25, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. We all know Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. And this verse reminds us that Jesus is constantly praying for us. Jesus is praying for you right now. Isn't that bring a sense of encouragement to our hearts? That Jesus is in. Do you think God hears Jesus' prayers? I think about Jesus when he was on this earth and when he would go to spend that time in prayer. I mean, goodness, if Jesus doesn't know how to pray to the Father, right? So all of his prayers were heard. All of his prayers were answered. And here Jesus is interceding on our behalf. So when we fall short, when we sin in our lives, Jesus says, I paid the price for that sin. Put that on my account. So Jesus is praying for us that we would be strong and that we would be faithful and that we would believe in him and that we would have that hope. Contrast that to, listen, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, I'll put it up. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren, look at, who accuses them before our God day and night has been cast down. What I want you to see is this is what the enemy is trying to do in our lives. Every single day, day and night, the enemy doesn't stop accusing us before God. So we have to make sure that our faith and our belief in God is greater, because the enemy is trying to accuse us. And sometimes we begin to believe that. And we need to encourage people that God has sent Jesus so that he can quench the accusations of the enemy. We don't have to listen to the lies of the enemy. When the enemy whispers in our ear, you're nobody. You don't deserve forgiveness. We can stand on Hebrews 7 and say, no, 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 Jesus died for me. And because of what he did, he's interceding for me. That's the hope that we have, is that Jesus has seated in a place of authority, and we can trust that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We don't have to worry about the enemy. We don't have to worry about the accuser. We have to recognize his accusations. I say it all the time. Boy, the enemy's good at what he does. He knows what causes me to trip up. He knows what causes you to be led into a temptation. But don't succumb to the temptation. Ask God to give you that strength to overcome. God has promised all of us that he will get us home safely. And we need to believe that he will, that he already has. Paul says we're more than conquerors in Christ, right? We're already victors. Let's live like that. Let's live with that victory. You know, Jesus says to Satan, depart, Satan. They were washed in my blood and robed in my righteousness. I love the fact that when God looks at my life, he sees his son, Jesus. And when he looks at your life, he sees his son, Jesus, perfect. That is something that we partake as believers. I want to challenge you this week to put your faith in God, to believe, like Abraham, to have faith in what God has done and what he will do. Do you believe that what God has promised, he will do? Do you really believe in God's promise that you are saved by grace through faith? Not about works. It's faith. Do you really believe in God's promise that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ? See, the enemy wants you to feel condemned, but there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's, again, put our faith in God this week. If God tells us this week, jump into the hole, I'll catch you. May we step into that hole, trusting God will catch us, because God is faithful to keep his promises. Amen? Let's believe that and let's live that this week. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much for your word. And how grateful we are, Lord, for men and women in our Bibles that have lived by faith, believing and trusting in you. God, I pray for all of us that we would follow in their footsteps, that when times get tough, our faith would increase. God, we do believe that you can do the impossible, that there's nothing too hard for you. And so, Lord, our lives are in your hands. Have your way with us. Certainly keep us safe. I pray we would all be shielded and protected from this virus, Lord, that we wouldn't walk and live in fear about that at all, because you're taking care of us. And that, Lord, this year, as it continues to unfold, that we will just see your hand putting things in place, orchestrating circumstances and events, that we will by no doubt know that it is you. Let us be like Abraham, who believed in your word. May we too believe in your word and believe in your promises. And that, Lord, would be enough for us to feel your hand upon us, guiding us, directing us, and leading us to you. Bless each and every one, I pray, in the sound of my voice. Bless their day, bless their week. Keep us safe, Lord. Amen. Please stand.